And we are now live on Radio EduTalk. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Johnson on Radio EduTalk. I am in Glasgow, Scotland, as usual. And tonight we've got a rather different show. We're more distributed than usual because we've got guests from Glasgow and Gaza. I've got three people in the room with me tonight. And I'm going to mangle the names here probably. I've got Dr. Nazmi Al-Masri, Bill Guariento, and Anna Rolinska. Good evening, folks.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are we all tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, maybe we can just go round people and just tell us a wee bit about where you come from and then we'll move on to talk about the sort of international collaboration that's been going on between the University of Glasgow and the Islamic University of Gaza. Could you maybe start, Nazmi?
Thank you. Thank you for hosting us at Radio EduTalk, and we are happy to start by thank you, John, for this program. In fact, my name is Nazmi Al-Masri, as you introduced me, and I'm vice president of the Islamic University, and I work as external relations. In fact, it connects me with the Glasgow a lot of cooperation and links through three or four projects. And we have been working together with different professors from Glasgow on three or possibly now becoming four or maybe five projects will be soon, hopefully. And we are working on now this project that we are talking about is really special, and this is the first time we do a project like this, which is entitled as or given abbreviation EAST, standing for English for Academic Study Telecooperation between the Islamic University of Gaza and the University of Glasgow, with both Bill and Anna.
Thanks very much. Bill?
Okay, well, my name is Bill Guariento, and I am the course director on the year-round pre-sessional course, which prepares overseas students with the English that they need to be able to study engineering or accounting or law or anything to master's level at the University of Glasgow. So that's my main role, is directing that course. And in a minute, I'm sure I'll be talking with Anna and Nazmi about how we were able to exploit the previous link, which Nazmi has mentioned, with the Islamic University of Gaza to improve our year-round pre-sessional course, in particular for the engineering group. That's me.
Brilliant. And Anna.
Okay, hello. So I'm Anna Rolinska. I'm originally from Poland, but for the last 6 years I've been living and working in Glasgow, quite closely with Bill, in the same unit, so English for Academic Study. I teach English for academic purposes, but I'm also responsible for the kind of use of technology in the unit and in the School of Modern Languages and Cultures. So I'm the technology, my role is also the technology enhanced learning and teaching officer. And technology played quite a big role in that project already mentioned by Nazmi. So I guess that was my main contribution when it comes to the project.
Brilliant.
The use of technology.
And we talked to you before,
yes.
and another sort of, I guess, CPD opportunity, which I think maybe is coming up again sometime. But we're here today to talk about the EAST project, which is subtitled on the website, Engineering Students Collaborating Across Borders. And what maybe surprised me just when I read that is that we haven't, I don't think, an engineer in the house. It's engineering students collaborating, but the collaboration was more about language. Am I right?
Well, we do have an engineer. Dr. Nazmi is an engineer, even though he has now become the international relations, the dean, but he is certainly an engineer. Am I right, Nazmi?
I'm sorry, I'm in education, in fact. I'm an educator, graduated from Manchester University Faculty of Education in teaching English as a foreign language and building curriculum.
Okay, so maybe somebody could give us a sort of overview of the EAST project anyway, what the actual essence of the project and how it started. That would be good.
Shall I start? Or?
Yeah, be great.
Yeah, I think the project has several, in fact, objectives, mainly language and research skills, also increasing intercultural awareness and knowledge, as the project included from the Palestinian side, from the Islamic University of Gaza, and also included international students at Glasgow University. So plus the language skills, there is also an element of cultural or intercultural awareness, as well as also knowing some skills related to critical thinking, evaluation, and also how to organize your thoughts, presentation skills, teamwork, using technology, and as we used to communicate through email, through blogs, through Facebook, Skyping, and so on. So this is, in fact, a pilot project, which is the first time we do it in such way. And I think it's a multi-purpose and multi-objective course. I believe that it achieved these courses. Yes, the starting point was mainly language and research, but in fact, it achieved more than that.
Brilliant.
Yep. Yes, and if I can add in something. So the focus was mostly on development of language skills and maybe the so-called employability skills, so a range of soft skills, as Nazmi has just mentioned. But it was in the context of the kind of engineering, science, technology, as our students in Glasgow, they were kind of doing the science, engineering, technology strand, preparing to enter master courses in, you know, computer science, let's say, civil engineering, electrical engineering, and so on. And they were collaborating with, engineering students, engineering technology, and again, science students in Gaza. So they were practicing language and developing all sorts of skills, but it was all around the engineering, science, technology-related scenarios. So it was very much authentic and problem-based and project-based.
So, I mean, part of the outcomes were presentations and videos about engineering projects in Gaza.
Yes.
Yeah, and the students, the role of the students in Glasgow then was helping teach the students in Gaza, or were they collaborating to produce something together?
I was perhaps, Bill, would you like to talk a little bit more about what the course looked like before we introduced, because yeah. I think it's important to understand the kind of a wider context. Mm.
The course has been running for probably about 8 years, we're talking about specifically about the science, engineering, and technology group, and we get maybe 30 or 40 students in August who for the past 8 years have arrived, and we've asked them to think of a problem in their field, and then they spend a month researching potential solutions to this problem, and then they give a presentation. And that worked fine for 8 years. But we then had this wonderful opportunity because Nazmi was already engaged in a project with the School of Education at Glasgow University, and we thought, why not get our students to look at real-world problems rather than to come up with their own theoretical problems, And why not get the students at the engineering students at the Islamic University of Gaza to propose potentially interesting problems to our students? And that's really where the whole East project started from, if that answers Anna's question regarding background.
And can you...
So once the Gazan students came up with the, you know, with the kind of selection of scenarios, then our students chose from those scenarios, and based on the scenarios, they formed groups. So we had small groups of Gazan students and Glasgow-based students working together on a particular scenario. We had a range of scenarios, for example, related to road infrastructure maintenance of roads. Then some students were looking into water pollution and air pollution. Then we had students looking into the use of technology in hospital settings. So in the little groups, our students were trying to make sense of that scenario, learn about the, you know, about the context. Some of our students didn't even know where Gaza was, so they really had to get to grips with, you know, not only with the problem but with the context. And the students in Gaza were helping our students to understand the situation. So they were there to answer any questions our students had, to help our students evaluate, for example, the solutions, and so on. So this is what the collaboration was about. So our students were actually doing the research and, you know, offering solutions based on the research. And the students in Gaza were acting kind of as critical friends, let's say, or mentors to an extent.
So part of the outcome for the Glasgow students was the answer to the problem, or the way they produced the problem, and learning about collaboration and things. And the outcomes for the Gazan students.
Well, the outcomes, perhaps Nazmi could speak about it.
But, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
the outcome for the students in Gaza, well, I believe, well, being part of the collaboration, being able to work with the peers, international peers elsewhere, to be able to, you know, voice their ideas, to be able to practice their English, and also in order to help them kind of give constructive feedback to our students prior to the course, the pre-sessional course. We offer the kind of short online course in how to provide constructive feedback. So the students in Gaza, they received some input from us, and some they did some activities again in groups, and that was to develop those skills in critical thinking, communicating in English, and giving constructive feedback. And that was not only with the view of them then giving, you know, feedback to our students, but also being able to use that skill in the professional context, because many of the students in Gaza are already working, or if not, you know, full time, then part time, or occasionally working in as part of different projects. So they do need those skills. And actually, one of the students, for example, we had most of the students in Gaza were engineers or studied something to do with technology, but we had a couple of educators and linguists as well. And for example, one of them has a translation agency, and he actually said that thanks to the little course in constructive feedback, he was then better able to provide constructive feedback to his employees, to the translators working with him. So they were able to transfer those skills to the work context as well.
That's brilliant. I mean, the whole project sounds wonderful. It sounds like, as I say, I'm primary school background, and it sounds like a great primary school project where you've got one core idea and all these different outcomes coming out.
But we are aware of the fact that maybe there was a bit of a imbalance between the outcomes for our students and for the students in Gaza, and I guess the plan now is to address that imbalance and offer more to the students in Gaza in terms of either, let's say, maybe another little course in developing other transferable skills, or allowing them maybe to have access to some of the resources at the University of Glasgow. We've got a few ideas, and well, we are in the process of exploring them and trying to find out what might be done, what more can be done in the next summer.
Brilliant. So the project's continuing, yeah?
Yes.
we hope so, yeah. We are planning, in fact, hopefully to expand it maybe to other disciplines plus engineering and science. Because the impact of this project on the students in Gaza was, in fact, great, because our students in Gaza have been under siege for almost 10 years now. And they were in the early 20s, almost all of them. And so they never left Gaza, or they never met or communicated with international students. So it opened a window for them to breathe internationalism and culturalism, and they began to ask about the importance of this, and they wanted it to be repeated again. And in fact, they showed so much motivation because they learned a lot. They began to ask themselves, okay, what do I know about the countries of these international students, some of them from Latin America, some from China, some from Arab countries. So in fact, through using the blog and using Facebook, they developed also friendship and relations with each other. So plus the academic achievement, also there is an element of mutual understanding and beginning to learn more about others. Using technology, in fact, helped us a lot. It recorded, in fact, a big success that we are thinking of enhancing the role of technology to build bridges of cooperation with Glasgow and also other universities, to as a way of, if we can't travel physically, we can travel virtually using up-to-date technologies. And most of our students, in fact, in Gaza and at the Islamic University, try their best to master the up-to-date technologies, because without them, we feel it's too difficult to improve our education or to upgrade our skills as students and to enhance their competencies in language and research and writing, as well as giving presentations. I think they learn a lot also in terms of how the others give presentations, because all the students who were divided, the international students at the Glasgow University were divided into teams, and that every team gave a presentation, and the presentation was also given feedback by students from Gaza. So they were playing a complementary role. Gaza students raise a problem. Glasgow University try to offer and search and find solutions to this problem. Then they come back to Gaza students, giving them feedback. And then they give a presentation and receiving more feedback. And I think it's really, for us even as a specialist in this area, it is a remarkable experience for us, and we hope we can develop it and improve it and expand it.
It just sounds a marvellous project altogether. And I mean, I know...
John, could I just Could I just pick up on something that Nazmi said? He was talking about the opportunity for the students at the Islamic University of Gaza to specifically improve their English skills. And he was talking about the difficulties of education when you're under siege for 10 years. And one of the things that I was concerned about was, before we began the collaboration, was how could the level of education of students in Gaza be good when they've been working under such constraints for the past 10 years? And one of the incredible things about the project and the feedback from our students in Glasgow was how very capable the students were, not just in terms of engineering, but their levels of English are very, very good, full stop. Quite apart from the fact that they've been labouring under these terrible constraints, so we were very impressed with the level of the students in Gaza.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the page, the project team students page on your blog, and this is a kind of by the by, but the students have represented themselves with various selfies and things, and wee comments on them, and I just get a great sense of fun from that page, and yeah, it doesn't sound as if they are under siege. They look engaged, very admirable.
Can I add one other surprise, which was I fully expected the topics that the Islamic University of Gaza students would present to our students to be siege related, because that's all we ever hear about about Gaza is the siege. And I would say at least 50% of the projects were not siege related. There were things that would affect and be of interest to any engineering 20-year-old engineering student anywhere in the world. I mean, one of the topics, for example, was optical character recognition. Nothing to do with the siege, that was another interesting and surprising outcome of the East project for me.
And I mean, do you think the sort of awareness of the political situation, how did that affect the students in Glasgow?
Yeah, I think it happened that before we start the Project East, it happened that I was in Glasgow and I gave a presentation to the international students, and it was a very good opportunity for them to ask me direct questions about the siege in Gaza, and I gave a very short presentation about Gaza. And I was amazed, in fact, by the key questions they asked. In fact, sometimes some questions show that some of them were very knowledgeable about what's going on, and some really know almost nothing about Gaza. So, as Bill earlier said, that some of them, one of the outcome of the project, of our Project East, is stimulating and motivating the international students to know more about Gaza. Where is Gaza? What is it? So they began to know, to be more aware of the reality in Gaza, which is not easy to explain in few minutes. But they began to do research on that. This also, their questions, it began to make the students in Gaza happy that there are some students who started caring about and asking about and concerning about what's going on in Gaza, and offering them sometimes genuine solutions to the environment-related issues. Really, it was very impressive to our students, which is very important for them to look at the outside world positively in terms of the attitude of looking at the others as, okay, other students are beginning to understand our suffering, our problems that we are living, whether scientific, whether environmental, whether linguistic, whether educational. At this kind of question and answer and increasing knowledge, it creates mutual understanding in or among young students who included both males and females in different subjects. In fact, if we easily ask our students through the evaluation, we did it through questionnaire and writing feedback. The feedback was excellent on both sides, the international students in Glasgow and then the Gaza students at the Islamic University gave a very, very positive feedback and evaluation of the projects, expressing their hope to participate again in similar projects.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, I keep saying that it seems like a wonderful thing, and you can imagine people wanting to get involved, even without the, you know, the difficulties. Working across space is always brings something interesting, I think, into the classroom. Can we maybe just talk a wee bit about the technology you used and how that worked? Did you just start emailing, or how did you introduce the students to the technologies, or did you allow them to just choose the ones they used anyway, or how did that work?
Well, so maybe I'll I'll talk about it a little bit. So once the students in Gaza were kind of recruited, then we had an online session which introduced them to the whole idea of the project and to the little course in constructive feedback. And that session was held using WISIC, which the university in Islamic University in Gaza has. Has a WISIC account, and we use that to hold the session twice. And once the initial contact was established that way, we created a Facebook group. So we had a big Facebook group for all the students in Gaza and all the students in Glasgow. This was because we couldn't, for example, use the university virtual learning environment because there would be problems, you know, setting up accounts, etc., etc. So we had to go through kind of a third-party solutions. And Facebook, it's popular with the students, and I think it worked really well. So we used that big group to communicate with the students, to make announcements, post reminders, to share photos as well from, for example, those presentations at the end. We also had a little party at the end of the project, and during which our students handed over kind of virtually certificates to the students in Gaza. So we shared photos of from those events, and we still use that Facebook group to, for example, today I shared the link to the show to the radio show with the students via Facebook. And then we also created a website using WordPress just to document the process, and so that, you know, both students, both groups of students in Gaza and Glasgow have got some record, and also for us as a kind of, you know, evidence of what we have done and at the stages of the process we've gone through. And then once the students, our students in Glasgow, once they started the course, we had a face-to-face session introducing them to the project. We put them into, showed them the scenarios, they chose the scenarios, and based on that they formed groups with the students in Gaza. And then we created small Facebook groups. So each group working on a particular scenario had a Facebook group as well, which they could use to you know, communicate with each other. But on top of that, I mean, they could use whatever they wanted, really, but we just wanted to, I mean, the course the course is quite intense, so we didn't really want to increase workload for, well, at least our students in Glasgow. So that's why we created the Facebook, so they had an option already there. But if they wanted, they could use whatever, you know, whether it was email or WhatsApp or Skype or any other technology to communicate with each other, that was fine. So, but most groups, I think, use the Facebook groups as well, to communicate with each other.
And I see from your site, there's some YouTube videos and things that
we also use YouTube not only to share, let's say, the links to the, you know, online sessions, but also at the end of the project we ask the students in Gaza to create videos of the scenarios, and some of them submitted the videos, which then I uploaded to YouTube.
And can I add a couple of things?
Sure.
If anybody's interested in seeing the videos, they are nice. They're moving. I think they're one of the loveliest parts of the project, is to see the videos. A couple of which you can see on the east side. But could I also say that when Anna was talking about using Facebook, she made it sound quite easy, but I have to be honest, Anna had to put a great deal of work into it. And Nazmi was talking about ways forward, and one of the ways forward that we are contemplating and hoping for is that maybe because the people in Gaza showed themselves to be so technologically able, why couldn't somebody in Gaza, for example, take on Anna's role next year? And that would be a logical step forward, I think.
And also, I mean, this way, a student, you know, managing the online spaces, they could develop skills as well. And because, I mean, it's a useful skill, for example, late in the workplace, how to, let's say, promote, how to communicate online, how to kind of motivate people online. It's amazing. I'd never used Facebook with my students before the project, I must say. So it was all a very novel experience to me. And it's interesting what decisions you have to make. So, for example, how often to post an announcement? Is it, you know, is it too often? Maybe I'm bombarding them with information. Maybe I should slow down. Or, you know, maybe I'm just overwhelming them with information. So all these little decisions you have to make, and you don't really know whether you're doing that correct or not. So it is useful. I think it's a useful skill, and it would be, I mean, I think some students, a student interested in, let's say, learning more on social media and using social media in the kind of for project management, that might be a, you know, wonderful experience. We also use the back to the technology. I forgot to mention that we also use Google Docs for the especially during that little course in giving constructive feedback, so all the activities were set up using Google Docs.
And I'm guessing the students in Gaza, did they have any problems sort of just accessing internet access? And is there a...
Yes. And I'm sure Nazmi can say a little bit more, but what I would like to say here is that they had problems. And again, our students, maybe often they were not, at the beginning, they were not aware of those problems, so they had to learn. But I think it just added some kind of, I don't know, motivation and commitment. And I think what our students appreciated, and that was a recurrent comment in the evaluation, it was they appreciated the opportunity to work with real people on, you know, and work on real problems, real life problems, not something from a textbook, not something imaginary, but actually, you know, a real problem, and through talking, interacting with real people. And the students in Gaza, for example, I know that some of them, you know, stayed up stayed up or in order to, because the internet was, I don't know, available at night or in early morning, early in the morning. So they stayed up, woke up early in order to do the research, post the links, because they knew that somebody was waiting for that information, you know, miles away from them. But maybe Nazmi could tell us a bit more about this problem.
Thank you. Yes, the problem with the internet is electricity and power. It happens sometimes. It caused some difficulties sometimes in our even Skype meeting. We usually interrupted by disconnection of electricity. In Gaza, for almost now 7-8 years, electricity is not regular. What is regular is disconnection. we normally, electricity is disconnected daily almost between 8 to 10 hours. That's regular.
Wow.
And sometimes you don't know when. And everything, as you know, is internet, computer, labs, lighting is based on electricity. Maybe at university, because the university has a generator, we overcome the difficulty of electricity and internet. But the students have to come to university from different parts of Gaza Strip in order to do something on the net, because the electricity at home is not regular. Here is an example now. I am now in my office at the university, and in Gaza it's almost 20 to 8. I wanted to stay at the university because I can make sure that the electricity and the net are reliable here, not as home. Though I have a generator for my home, but I can't trust it, and I can't trust also the power. So the students, in fact, faced several challenges with a strong will, because, in fact, if, as I said before, determination and patience is our bread and butter in Gaza. Without this, we wouldn't survive. Another thing encouraged the students and motivated the students to overcome these challenges is what Anna said, that the problems addressed to them, and they are talking about and discussing them with international students at the Glasgow University, is related to the Palestinian reality, to the Palestinian context. And this is, in fact, motivated them that, okay, this is something, yes, it's interesting, it talks about me. And this also helps them to communicate in a much better way than talking about something that they don't know. As Palestinians, we lost almost all our land, and we don't have natural resources. Education is the rope of hope for every Palestinian, individual and family. People here sell their furniture and sell their jewelry, to sell everything for the sake of educating their sons and daughters. So that the students, our students, appreciated this opportunity, and they wanted to make use of it to increase their skills and to increase their language and their motivation for education, especially that finding a job is extremely difficult in Gaza. So taking such courses would help these students to increase the opportunity of getting a job or a better job if they are even employed. So the incentives given to the students from the course itself enable them to overcome the difficulty of power, internet disconnection, the transportation, and so on.
And can I just add one tiny thing, Nazmi, which everyone has forgotten so far, is that all of the participating students from the Islamic University of Gaza were working during their holidays, because August in Gaza is a holiday, and it's also very, very hot. So that was an added sign of their dedication.
Yeah, they in fact surprised us with their dedication and commitment. Not in terms of, I don't expect that from them, but really the time of the project was really hot, and the last summer was maybe the hottest in decades in Gaza. And really we highly appreciated the commitment they had for the reasons I mentioned. And one of the outcome of the project, we hope that it improved the opportunity of employability of these students, as the ratio of unemployability among graduates of universities reaches 60%. And it takes some of them 5 years to get a job. So wherever there is a glimpse of hope to increase their employability, skills, language skills, research skills, presentation skills, all skills related to employability, you will find a queue of Palestinian graduates coming to join these courses.
I think makes us feel rather bad about our moaning when the network's a bit slow over here. This shows an awful lot of commitment on the part of you guys. I don't know if we've got anything else. I'm realising if it is 7:45 or 8:45 in Gaza that we're holding everybody quite late and we've gone on for a wee while. Just to bring the broadcast to a close, is there any final points you want to make?
For me?
For anybody at all.
That's me.
Yeah. I think the success of this project, as I mentioned, the gains it achieved in terms of language, in terms of research, in terms of culture, in terms of awareness of others, in terms of employability skills, team spirit, values of cooperation, is so incentive for us, and to do it again, hopefully taking issues like current issues that are global and Palestinian at the same time, and the Scottish, like refugees, Islamophobia, human rights, climate change, and we can address international issues related to international students and Palestinian students, and we can build bridges between peoples through these young students who can also talk culturally and use the language as a means of bringing understanding and cooperation between peoples, and also leading to international peace and peace of mind at individual level, and peace of mind at community level and international level. I think we are our target will be, or our hope is to replicate this project in a wider scope, with a more language, intercultural skills, and more values, and more creating also more cooperation between youths, and more understanding of each other's and their culture. I think this is a message the project also conveyed to these students, who really, I'm sure if we call them tomorrow, they will come back again, and they will talk about this in a very positive way. So our role as academics and educators is to build the bridges between peoples, especially young, especially in these days where there are a lot of misunderstanding and stereotypes between East and West.
It's been a privilege to listen to that, I think. This is just marvellous. And one of the things I take away is that if we're educating or working in an area that doesn't have these difficulties, what's stopping us doing something as powerful as this? Brilliant. Anna, do you have anything, any last?
Well, after Nazmi has summarised, so eloquently, I don't think there's much to add. I would just like to say that I really like teaching, but I must say that thanks to that project, I think I kind of rediscovered teaching and what a great kind of feeling it is when you know that you're making, even if it's just a little change, but you're making a little change to somebody's life. And I'm talking here, I mean, it was a great privilege to be working with Dr. Nazmi and with particularly with the students in Gaza, because their commitment and their dedication were just unbelievable. And they were so eager and so eager to learn and to meet people, to learn something new, and also so generous in sharing their resources, their knowledge, their skills. So it was a great privilege, and I really appreciated the opportunity to work with such wonderful people, and also with our students, because I felt their engagement, they were more engaged than, let's say, normally. So that kind of showed that education can be not only, well, it can be fun, and it can be something very meaningful, not only within that context of a, let's say, course or a particular lesson, but having repercussions on your later life as well. So if possible, I would encourage anybody to look for opportunities to kind of expand the walls of the classrooms and build online communities and introduce elements of projects, of project work, of kind of scenario-based learning in order to help students not just learn but also meet other people, other cultures, and develop relationships. It's a little bit of extra, a little bit of more work, but it really pays off.
Pays off, yeah. Thank you very much. Bill, have you got a last thought?
Well, it's difficult to add to feelings from Nazmi and from Anna, but I mean, the main aim, we have to say, of from our point of view in the University of Glasgow is to give our students the skills that allow them to enter their master's course. And the fact that we were able to do it in a way that allowed them to learn about, to go away with such a positive experience and such positive feelings about Gaza was absolutely wonderful. I mean, I perhaps I shouldn't say it, but that was my main desire, was to let people know that about the situation in Gaza, and to give them some sort of positive some understanding of the situation. And they certainly went away. Our students certainly went away with that. There were only 37 students this time. It would be wonderful to see it grow, basically.
Brilliant. I mean, I think from the just the report you give, that you can't think why people wouldn't try to replicate this and wouldn't grow this with such, say, marvellous outcomes. Can I just say thank you very much for taking the time? Some of you with slightly more difficulty than our guests usually have of getting on. It's just, to use that privilege word again, it's been a privilege listening to you tonight. And for the people listening online, I'm going to hang up now. This will be up as a podcast in probably by the weekend. So if you're listening, thank you very much. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Okay.